You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam Territory in British Columbia. What does it take to excel in a fast-paced work environment? Let's find out with today's guest, Richard Aloisio. Welcome to another episode of Question Everything, where we connect young leaders with experts in entrepreneurship, publishing, and design. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with Richard Aloisio. Richard is the weekend art director of the New York Times, and in my opinion, is one of the most creative and best-dressed New Yorkers in the city. In today's episode, Richard shares insights from his decades of experience at the New York Times and shares advice for young people who feel overwhelmed by a new job or position. We also talk about the importance of creativity and self-expression and how simple gestures of kindness can make a big difference in others' lives. So thank you so much for having me today. I'm wondering if you could start by telling us a bit about your background and how you first got started working at the New York Times.
My background is I went to an art school for 4 years in Brooklyn, Pratt Institute. I didn't know quite where I would end up. I knew I enjoyed art. Actually, when I was in high school, I didn't know. I had two choices. I thought either I would go into art, some field of art, or journalism. And it turns out I did both the way it worked out. But that was sheer luck, I think. When I got out of Pratt, I interviewed at a couple of places. Some of them were little design studios, but they never seemed right. They never struck a chord until I walked through. This is going to sound strange, but I knew I wanted to work among a lot of people. I felt for myself I needed a lot of people. And the design studios were always a small group of people, not enough for me. And they'd offer me the job, and I turned down a couple and because I really needed what I wanted. So when I walked through the doors of Penthouse magazine, it opened up and there were just like people moving back, coming out of doors, and it was like just so many people. The minute I walked out of the elevator, I said to myself, this is where I want to work. You know, I didn't know what I'd be doing, but, you know, I was interviewed, and I'll never forget the associate art director opened my portfolio, and he just opened it. This is before computers, so, you know, there was no discs that you were, you know, there was no iPad or... It was an actual big portfolio of your artwork, your original artwork. So he opened it up, and the first thing he said was, this is the neatest portfolio I've ever seen. I mean, it was like, I didn't know what he'd been seeing, you know, but you know, I've seen portfolios myself, and it's usually like people prepare it in bed, and it's like there's scraps, and there's... Anyway, mine was very, very clean. So I got hired at Penthouse, and I started doing magazine design. And, you know, I fell into that in a way, you know, but it was a design kind of a thing. And then after that, I left there after about 2.5 years, and then I became the art director of a sports magazine called Inside Sports. I don't know if it's still around anymore. And I'm not a sports person. I'm not a sports fan at all. And the thought of doing another Super Bowl issue was, I couldn't face it, so I left, and I think I took off for about 6 months. I didn't do anything. And then I thought, you know, then I felt, oh, it's time to, you know, start working again. And I signed up with a headhunter, I believe, at the time. And she had me go on an interview at the Times. And then I got that job. But that, this job was really difficult for me at first. And the story I tell is that I wanted to quit every day for the first 2.5 years. It was miserable for me. It was really hard. And I told this at my, I had an anniversary party when I was here 30 years. And one of my bosses said sarcastically, why did you stay, you know, if you wanted to quit for 2.5 years? And I didn't want to quit is basically the answer. I didn't want to give in. You know, it was very difficult in terms of design, but also in terms of everything else, in terms of deadlines and the nature of the place. You know, you're working for the New York Times. It was important to do everything right. But also, you know, I came from a magazine, going to a newspaper, which was even bigger than it is now because we've shrunk it in size over the years. But it was huge, so the scale of design was really difficult for me to grasp, you know, because I was doing layouts for a little magazine. And meanwhile, it's on a big piece of paper, and it just disappeared. So it was a real learning experience. And it wasn't until, and it took me a long time to grasp it. But the best thing is, it made me incredibly fast, because I was used to a monthly magazine, and then I was doing daily pages. You know, it was a real amazing shift. So I got very fast, which was wonderful. And, you know, you're completely intuitive. There's no time to think. Your brain has to be like, I know what I'm going to do. You know, they need something in a half hour. It's got to print. You're going to have something.
What advice would you give to young people who are in those positions where they found themselves in a new job and they don't know what's going on? Do you have any insights that you could share from your 2 years of feeling like that?
Well, you know, everybody's different. But for me, it was more a sense of not wanting to give up. You know, I'm a perfectionist. So I pride myself on getting everything right and getting all the details right. And that would have seemed to me giving up. And I didn't want to do that. And as tough as it was, I just felt a sense of, you know, don't give up yet. As far as advice, I think you have to stick with it for a certain amount of time. Either they're going to fire you or you're just going to say that, you know, I've had enough. And you'll know, but you can't give up too quickly. You really have to stay. You know, 2.5 years is a long time. I know people don't even stay at jobs that long anymore because of technology nowadays, especially even here now. You know, we used to have people who were here for a lifetime. And now, you know, anybody new and young who comes here, they consider 3 years a very long time to stay.
For a taste of the classics with a twist, join me, Marguerite, with Classical Chaos, Sunday mornings starting at 9, right here on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Canada.
You're listening to Question Everything on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Carly Sotis. And today I'm speaking with Richard Aloisio.
Your position sounds very hectic, like you're doing so many different things. I'm wondering what a day in the life of the New York Times art director looks like.
Well, every day is different here. Each art director has his or her own section. And, you know, we're all on different schedules. So we all know each other's schedules, so we know when I'm going to be in a bad mood or you're going to be in a bad mood because that's the day we close the section or that's the day it really hits the fan. So, you know, everybody has a different schedule, and it starts slow because nobody knows what they're putting into the section yet. Decisions here are often made very late. This has been something that has been worked on to be corrected for my 35 years, and it hasn't been corrected yet. It's just hard to get people to say, this is what's happening. You know, it's not like a monthly magazine where it's like all this lead time. You know, if somebody dies, you know, when Prince dies, you scramble. Mm-hmm. When Michael Jackson died, it's like, oh, Michael, you know, it's like everybody's running around. You have no idea. When Bill Cunningham passed away, like everybody's in turmoil. You're running around looking for stuff and generating story ideas and getting pictures, and it's a zoo.
When people are running around and you don't really have time to think, but everything that you do is going to be read by millions of people. Are you consciously aware of that when you're in those moments?
No, I never think of that. If I see somebody reading the paper the next day on the subway, like I'll think, you know, I did that big picture. But like, you know, if I see somebody reading it on the subway or on a bench on the street, that's always kind of nice. But you hate to see it on the subway floor. That's a bit disheartening. But 35 years later, you still get a kick out of seeing somebody holding your section in their hand. The gratification, I'm big on gratification. And I think a lot of our, you know, anybody creative, a lot of the art directors would like feedback, but people are too busy to give you, like, you know, pats on the back here, because you're really right on to the next thing the minute. Like people say, that piece you did last week, the layout you did for that story last week was great. I go, I don't even remember. Really, because you're on to the next thing immediately. So there's very little time for somebody to say, hey, nice job on that thing.
Being one of the more senior people here, how do you find new people adjust to that kind of work?
That's a good question. You know, the young people we've had that are starting here, they seem very good at it. They know the technology. They know that cold. So that helps them, I think. You know, they usually start out under an art director's wing, and that person has his or her own style. So in a way, they're teaching them that style. But I think they handle it. The people I've seen, I think they handle things very well. You know, there's still that pressure, but maybe they're just hiring better people. You know, with me, That was a whole other story. I would have been crying in the corner because of the stress and the time limits. But if you stick it out, you do get better because you understand how things work. There'll always be cursing and frustration and you know, oh my God, I did it again. And you tell yourself every week, I'm not going to do that again. A thing they I'm often asked, and I always tell my friends, I'm not going to do this again. Please remind me next time that I have to say no. And actually came up this week, and I said no, and it worked out. You know, my editor said, you think we could do that? And I go, no. And so she said, okay. And she was very happy with what I did. But, you know, it's been 35 years of keep saying, I'm not going to do that again. And I finally did it. So that worked out. But, you know, there's a lot of confidence involved. And actually, I'm not very confident in a lot of things, but not design. I don't really stand up for myself as much as I would like, if I'm being honest here. Often I'll acquiesce if they ask for like this or that. And I go, okay. Or they'll say, can you make this change? And other art directors would flat out say, no, this is it. Right. I'm not making that change. But I continue to, try to work with them and please them. And that has its advantages and disadvantages. You can come across as a pushover, or you can come across as, oh, he's very easy to work with. So it really depends. But I wish I was a little more forceful about my opinion. But, you know, after so many years here, it's like, well, she runs the section, so if that's what she wants, I'll give you that. But everybody's different. I've seen people screaming on the phone, I won't do that, I'm different. So, but I wish I was a little more strenuous about my, standing up for things. That's always a good thing, but not to the point where you're perceived as, I can't work with that person. Mm-hmm. But like I say, everybody has their own method. But that method happens as you're working, and also that method happens the longer you're there. It's like, I can't take any more of this. Now I'm going to really start putting my foot down. So it depends on your personality and lots of different things. Mm-hmm. And everybody here is very different, very different. That's really what makes a great workplace is that, it's the people. And thankfully, there's some great people around. And I used to work with an editor. He's still here, but does other things. And when I first started working with him, there was just something about him that brought the best out in everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to do something great for him, to make him, I don't know what it was. It's like you wanted to please him. And, he would compliment you. Great job. Wow, that looks terrific. I mean, him saying that was like, then you'd be on cloud nine. It's like, wow, he liked it. That's terrific. I'm very happy. So that was a fantastic way, to me, is the best way to get good work out of people. Berating people and telling them they did something wrong or a miserable, work environment. Or there's lots of ways to have a crappy job being done. But the best way to get a good job out of people is to, make them feel like, you did a good job. The occasional pat on the back. It goes a long way, and it costs nothing. If you can make somebody feel like they did a good job when you feel they did a good job, I think you should tell them. Maybe that goes back to parenthood. My parents, you don't hear a lot of compliments in my family. So maybe that was what I was missing. And I always thought, well, it's nice when somebody says, oh, Richard, that's a beautiful cover, really came out great. Even walking on the streets, like when I'm dressed nice, I get compliments occasionally. Somebody will just say, nice suit. And I always say, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Because I do. Nobody has to say it. And, it's hard sometimes, especially in New York, yelling out, hey, nice suit. So I just think that it's a nice to say. Makes people feel good. More people should operate that way. But I compliment people who do stuff here all the time.
It's important.
And I feel like they're taken aback in a way, because like, really? Oh, thank you. Like they're really, because there's, I oversee, I do my section, but then I oversee another section. and that designer sends me a layout, and I look at it, and I'll say, you know, that's not working. What if we move this here? And, oh, yeah, that works great. So, like, if they send me something and I think it looks great, I say, wow, this is great, beautiful job. And they always, always backpedal. It's like, you know, it's hard for them even to take a compliment. Mm. Like, well, you know, I really didn't. And I always say, well, just say thank you. So it's like, you know, it's foreign, and it shouldn't be foreign. And I think that's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even in stores, if I say something to a clerk or a cashier, you know, they really look at you like you're nuts in a way. I get that, and I go, oh, gee, I'm sorry, I'm sorry I complimented you. I don't say that, but it's like, come on.
Speaking of compliments, I think that you're one of the best-dressed New Yorkers around, and I'm wondering if you could talk to us about your style a bit and what inspires you.
Well, thank you. I thank you right off the bat. I do appreciate you saying that. I like getting dressed up, and it's almost another form of art or design at this point, because one of my best friends, he knows I have all these collections and art things that I've done on my own at home, and he'll always say, what are you working on now? What are you collecting, or what are you making? What are you painting? What are you building? So last year when he said that, I said, gee, I don't know what I have. He said, well, now, you know, he said, I see what you're doing on Instagram, and now you're the art, he said to me. And I said, oh, that was a compliment I just loved. I said, wow, that's, thank you. I said, you've turned yourself into the art. That's what you're doing now. And I said, well, I guess you're right, because I do think about it. And Bill Cunningham, who just passed away, always said, I would see him here every day. So, and he'd see me, and he'd look me over, and he'd always smile and say that the two things he would always say was that you have fun with it and you really think about it. That's what gave him the biggest kick. Is that he said, you know, you can see, you think about putting the things together and you're having fun with it. That's, you're having a good time with it. That's how it should be. And that was always a kick.
Better Environmentally Sound Transportation is bringing you the 20th Annual Commuter Challenge. The Commuter Challenge is a fun, friendly competition between individuals, workplaces, organizations, and students. Participants take transit, rideshare, car share, walk, cycle, or work from home. By tracking commutes online, participants see their total number of CO2 emissions avoided, fuel saved, and calories burned. There's absolutely no cost to register and participate, and you can win great prizes. Our goal is to encourage healthy, safe, and green communities along the coast and across BC by promoting sustainable commutes. Register now at commuterchallengebc.ca.
You're listening to CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and today I'm speaking with the art director of the New York Times, Richard Aloisio.
I've always loved color, and I guess it came from, I don't know where it came from. You know, I know growing up, and it's still there in my mother's house, we had a cookie jar. It was Mickey Mouse, and it was actually a two-faced kind of jar. One side is Mickey Mouse, and the other side, it becomes Minnie. So, and maybe that has to do with my cookie jar collection, but I think the cookie jar collection is more about color. Once I got out of school, actually, once I left home, that's when things happened. For me, you know, I was neat. I was very OCD about things when I was in Pratt doing my projects, whatever we had assignments. I was very obsessive about doing things, but there was nothing that, I don't think there were any hints, at least not to me, of my, you know, real color kind of obsession. Until I got my first apartment and left home, and basically coincided with my first job working in Manhattan, because I grew up in Brooklyn. And it doesn't sound like a big leap, but it's a big leap going from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And then I think it was more because I had my first place all by myself. Back in those days, you know, you didn't need five roommates to pay the rent.
Right.
the way it is here now. So, you know, I had my own place, and it was like, oh, you know, now I have, I've always had my own money because I always worked summers, and, mm-hmm. and I, you know, I paid for my college education, and I had the money to get a place, and, you know, we were lower middle class, so it wasn't like there was money handed, there was no money. Mm-hmm. So fortunately, I worked summers, and I made decent money, and when I moved to Manhattan, I just felt like, well, you know, now I can, if I like something, I'm going to buy it. That's just the way I was. But everything I bought was colorful. In Pratt, you know, I was always, I had friends at home, but I wasn't an explorer kind of a guy. So it wasn't like I was going out meeting people. You know, we were very isolated where I grew up, and we had our small set of friends. And actually, when I first started going to Pratt, my father, who never really said anything, he actually said, make friends. That was his advice. That was my father's parental advice. Make friends. Two words. Make friends. So, and that was funny because I guess he realized, you know, he's not a guy who just like goes out and easily makes friends. So, I'll never forget that. He said that. I think, oh, he knows that I'm, whether anxious or quiet or whatever it was. I mean, I could, with a friend that I know, I'm going to be a nut job and make you laugh and do, you know, anything to make you laugh. So when I went to Pratt, started going to Pratt, I sat all by myself and, you know, I didn't talk to anybody. And there was a guy in first year, you're all in the same class kind of. And there was a guy who saw me and actually said, once we became close friends, he said, man, I saw you sitting by yourself. I felt sorry for you. So I thought you could use a friend. So he took me as a friend. He took me not under his wing, but like, you know, we started hanging out. It was like he introduced me to these three women who were identical triplets at the school as well. And then we became five connected all the time people. Me and him and three of them, you know, we did it. You know, we took most of all the same classes together, hung out most of the time. You know, we even after college graduation, we went to Europe, you know, just friends. So, it was my life would be completely different had I not met him and had, you know, he not introduced me to them, because they opened up like a whole other, they were very, and him as well, they were very, you know, outgoing, not outgoing, but just like open to doing new things, which I kind of never been. So, you know, I started doing lots of different things with them, and, you know, I felt safe. So, you know, if they wanted to go to some strange theater recital or something, you know, whatever it was, I'd say, yeah, if you're going, I'll go with you. I'm fine with that. And so they opened up whole new things for me. And even Manhattan, it's like, you know, then it was like, you know, I realized, well, I'm going to move to Manhattan too. We're all moving to Manhattan. Let's do it. I'm going to go there too. So had I not met any of them, well, he introduced me to them. So really, he's the one. They had a great influence on me, because almost like the editor I was talking about, who you wanted to please that guy and doing good work, I felt that way with them. It's like I wanted to make them, I didn't want to disappoint them. And you, and these are people who, you know, like Bill and the editor I was talking, the guy editor, it's like if you disappoint them, you feel awful and you let yourself down. Mm-hmm. And in a way, there's a certain amount of pressure in that, but it's not a bad pressure. It's not like working, hard working kind of a pressure. It's more like, because you know there's something at the end that if you do it, you just feel great, you know? So they had a great influence. And everywhere I've gone, I've met somebody who's had a great influence in my life. And so that's why I say, if you know, the certain people, if you didn't meet, it's really very much like the movie It's a Wonderful Life. You know, everybody is so connected. If you didn't meet that guy, well, then you wouldn't have a house, and you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have that child. All these things happen, and if you take one thing away, your life is totally different. Now, that's not to say it couldn't be better. Maybe something would have happened that, you know, oh, gee, I could have been doing much better if I met that person. But hopefully you're happy where you are at the stage in your life and the place you are in your life that you can say, thank God I met those people, because I would literally not be here talking to you or going to this party or meeting that famously, fabulously talented, creative person. You wouldn't have the friends you have. Everything would be different. So it's really amazing how little things, you have no idea until you get older and you look back.
Right.
I didn't just come realize this. I knew this, and Pratt, that, like, you know, my life is, without them, without my friends that I made, I would be, I don't know what I'd be. I'd probably be sitting alone in a corner still. And then also, you know, when you're friends like that, then you have this kind of competition thing too going on, unspoken, but yeah, it's there. You know, it's like you all try to beat out, even the three of them would try to outdo each other. So you're all trying to outdo each other. So I think all our work got better from it, because you have this friendly,
yeah.
It's like, you know, basketball players who are really good friends but on opposite teams, and
yeah.
They have to, you know, yeah. They got to do it. So somebody, you know, so we would have a, you know, friendly competitions, and it would be beneficial to our work. Mm-hmm. Well, we all got A's, but it's like, you know, it was just fun to do it. Yeah, and it upped your game. And we're still friends to this day.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so, so much for taking the time
oh.
to speak with me today. It's been a pleasure to interview you.
Oh, my pleasure. I had a great time.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Question Everything. I'm your host, Carly Sotis, and each week I bring you inspiration and insights from creative minds and experts in entrepreneurship, publishing, and design.